Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Savaivana Loka Nirikshanartham.
Avyakta Lingo Vicharatyapi Svit.
Yogeshwaranam Gatim Andha Bodhihi.
Gatham Vichakshita Grahanubandha.
Savaivana Loka Nirikshanartham.
Vicharatyapi Svit.
Yogeshwaranam Gatim Andha Bodhihi.
Katham Vachakshita Grahanubandha.
Savaivana Loka Nirikshanartham.
Avyakta Lingo Vicharatyapi Svit.
Avyakta Lingo Vicharatyapi Svit.
Yogeshwaranam Gatim Andha Bodhihi.
Yogeshwaranam Gatim Andha Bodhihi.
Katham Vichakshita Grahanubandha.
Katham Vichakshita Grahanubandha.
Savaivana Loka Nirikshanartham.
Avyakta Lingo Vicharatyapi
Svit.
Yogeshwaranam Gatim Andha Bodhihi.
Katham Vichakshita Grahanubandha.
Ladies.
Avyakta Lingo Vicharatyapi Svit.
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
or His incarnation
Kapiladeva,
indeed,
Bhavan, your good self,
Loka Nirikshana Artham,
just to study the characteristics of the people of this world.
Avyakta Lingaha,
without manifesting your real identity.
vicharati,
are traveling in this world.
Api svit,
weather.
Yogeshwaranam,
of all the advanced yogis.
Gatim,
the characteristics or actual behavior.
Andabuddhihi,
who are illusioned
and have become blind
to spiritual knowledge.
Katam,
how?
Vichakshita,
may know.
Graha anubandha,
I who am bound
by attachment to family life or worldly life.
Translation:
Is it not a fact that your good self is the direct representative of Kapiladeva, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
To examine people and to see who is actually a human being and who is not, you have presented yourself to be a deaf and dumb person. Are you not moving in this way upon the surface of the world? I am very attached to family life and worldly activities, and I am blind to spiritual knowledge. Nevertheless, I am now present before you and am seeking enlightenment from you. How can I advance in spiritual life? Report by Srila Prabhupada. What's wrong? We're okay. It wouldn't stay up otherwise. That's why he did the way he did it. Although Maharaj Rahugana was playing the part of a king, he had been informed by Jad Bharat that he was not a king, nor was Jad Bharat deaf and dumb. Such designations were simply coverings of the spirit soul. Everyone must come to this knowledge, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Dehinosmin yata dehe. Everyone is encased within the body. Since the body is never identical with the soul, the bodily activities are simply illusory. In the association of such a sadhu as Jad Bharat, Maharaj Rahugana came to the awareness that his activities as a royal authority were simply illusory phenomena. He therefore agreed to receive knowledge from Jad Bharat. And that was the beginning of his perfection. Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva bhagaschet. A person like Maharaj Rahugana, who was very inquisitive to know the value of life and the spiritual science, must approach a personality like Jad Bharat. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasur shreyuttamam. Bhagavatam 11.3.21. One must approach a guru like Jad Bharat, a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to inquire about the goal of human life. Several things. The ordinary way of people relating to each other is on the platform of the body. And on the platform of the body, there's designations. And our teaching from Narada Pancharatra, one of the definitions that we have, core definitions of Bhagavad Gita, of bhakti, is designations have to be discarded. Sarva upadi vinir muktam tatpada trena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchyate. It is said that bhakti is rendering service with the senses to the master of the senses and at the same time without bodily designation. Bodily designation in this case is I'm a king and you're the palanquin carrier. So in the previous chapter, Jad Bharat blasted the king. Well, he gave him instructions, very strong instructions about the foolishness of thinking in that way in terms of designation. And the manner in which Jad Bharat presented, the clarity of his presentation, the accuracy of the transcendental knowledge aspect of his presentation, the roles changed. So now the role is, here's a shishya submitting to a spiritual master. One can say that's also a designation. It's not our real identity. So by this I mean to say, we do accept roles in this world. Old Lord Chaitanya said, kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shudra kene noi. But at the same time, he accepted the role of a sannyasi, and as a result he was very strict in his role as a sannyasi. There are transcendental reasons why, and there are instructional reasons why. One of the instructional reasons that Prabhupada referred to commonly was that while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting that the mood of the gopis was most exalted and elevated amongst the lovers of Krishna, it's not that he had some infatuation for women. His worldly position was strict, very strict sannyasi. Very strict sannyasi. His chastising of Chota Haridas and his own behavior, so many examples of how he conducted himself as a strict sannyasi. So he was very learned, that's another designation. He was very strict as a sannyasi, another designation. So with the basis of his attraction for bhakti wasn't due to a weakness of intellect. He was just kind of a dull person, and so he did that because that's what dull persons do. They go get sentimental about bhakti because they don't have the intellect to understand the Upanishads, where it seems to indicate that our real identity is equal to God and God is one and we're one with God. And for people that don't have the intellectual acumen, they go for this sentimental thing, bhakti. So he demonstrated that wasn't the case, not only in his childhood, in his teaching school so effectively that all the parents wanted their children to be in his school, and he would defeat everybody left, right, and sideways all the time. Keshava Kashmiri defeated him, and so on. Very, very powerful intellect, and met with Prakashananda Saraswati and defeated him, and met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and defeated him, and he was unstoppable as far as intellect is concerned. And yet, so it wasn't out of softness of intellect, but it was the conclusion, correct conclusion of the scripture, that love of the personality of Godhead is the best, and amongst the best, the best of the best is the love of the gopis. And so the love of the gopis, between Krishna and the gopis, there's this exchange that looks like a worldly exchange, but as a sannyasi, very, very strict about worldly exchanges between men and women. And yet finding. So it was purposeful. And in our case, we may accept designations because we don't have the spiritual elevation to fully realize and fully act on the platform of we're not this body. So we accept the psychophysical impulses born of this body, designations like grahastha and sannyasi, or man and woman, and we play our roles according to what is proper, what is indicated in scripture. We perform our duties accordingly. Meanwhile, our understanding should be, we're not this body, although we're acting according to a certain role within the social structure, so as to not make disturbances. And in the higher stages, to set an example, even if one becomes fully realized, perfectly realized, one still acts according to that which is beneficial for people in general, because people in general will follow, if not imitate, the activities of an elevated person. Yadyadacharati shrestas tatat evi tororjana. So, point here is, although we're not these designations, that's the point of emphasis, even within that understanding, here's a designation being accepted by King Mahugana. I'm not the king and you're not a deaf and dumb person. You're the spiritual master and I'm the disciple. So, another designation. An appropriate one for the circumstance. Because, now another point, the point is that Jad Bharat was capable of delivering pure, unadulterated, transcendental knowledge from a perfectly realized platform. So that's a good person to surrender to as a spiritual master or someone who can instruct one. In the language of the verse similar to yesterday, Rahugana is repeating Savai Babal Loka Nirikshanartam. So Saha is a pronoun, that, so it's referring to the previous verse where he spoke of Jadvar specifically as presenting the same teachings as Lord Kapila Dev. So he's taking Jad Bharat as a direct representative of Kapila Dev. He's honoring him in that way. Because one who's going to give transcendental knowledge needs to do so in disciplic succession from the proper authority. So you have that, in addition to your being very elevated in knowledge, you're not speaking anything other than in knowledge coming down. Not just a smart person. It also indicates that Rahugana knew something about Kapila Dev's teachings. Otherwise, how could he say, oh, that's Kapila Dev's teachings? And it matches Kapila Dev's teachings. He was, in other words, he wasn't a slouch. He was not an uneducated, unqualified person, like he's characterizing himself. As mentioned yesterday, he's actually very qualified. In fact, because he's so qualified, that's why Jad Bharat, after a whole lifetime of speaking nothing, finally spoke, because he found a qualified person. Although that qualified person was certainly covered with pride, with bodily conception, harsh speech, characteristics that don't become a qualified person. Still, Judd Bharat accepted him in that way, and he's now requesting to be delivered. The features are quite different than Devahuti requesting Kapila Dev, but the elements are quite similar, as Devahuti characterized herself as being very attached to family life, specifically because Kardava Muni had just left her husband, who she had been with for such long, long, long time, doing austerities with him in the forest, serving her husband very faithfully and very happily. Just in his association, she became so elevated. So elevated that the personality of Godhead took shelter in her womb. Lord Vishnu became her son. But she's feeling herself unqualified because of family attachment. The suffering that she's feeling, the emotions that she's feeling due to her husband leaving. So she's characterizing herself in the very same fashion as Rahugana is. This last phrase in the verse. Griha anubandaha. I am bound by attachments to family or worldly life. So what's a nice devotee supposed to do? Somebody who is a grahastha. The advice, it's not give up family life. The advice is to act in a very responsible way in the matter of executing the duties of household life. But not to be, you can say it nicely, overly attached. One should not be overly attached. What that means is ultimately the attachment should progressively lead to increasing attachment for Krishna. How can one, but the other side is, how can one live in household life and be responsible if there's no caring, no affection, no appreciation for the other family members, husband and wife and children and so forth? There has to be. Otherwise, it's a sham. It's like a cardboard box with nothing inside. It's there has to be some affinity. Otherwise, there's no household life. And that if the idea is that affinity should be directed towards pleasing Krishna. Together, husband and wife do this and that, and the family members do things together to serve Krishna. So Krishna becomes the object, not the body and the happiness of being together, etc., etc., etc. That's there to some extent, just like the association of devotees. We don't want to become unduly or overly attached. On the other hand, spiritual attachment is wanted, very much wanted. To have, as a family member, someone who is elevated in devotion to Krishna, that's great fortune. To have such close association with someone who's very dedicated to striving, at least, to attain shelter of Krishna and the happiness of Krishna, it's great fortune in life. So when husband and wife serve in that way, then that's good fortune. It's elevating. The caution is don't become overly attached, and the attachment should progressively lead to more attachment for Krishna, progressively more and more attachment for Krishna. That's the objective of a household life that's being properly executed. So he's saying, Rahugana is saying, Griha Anubandha, I am bound by attachment to family life and or worldly life. So Katam Vichakshita, please give instructions how I can become properly situated. I'm seeking enlightenment from you. How to be situated, as his previous question was, what's the most secure shelter? The most secure shelter is otherworldly. So one should let go of worldly shelters, akinchana. Not finding my safety, my security, my well-being is in terms of the worldly things of life. My house, my bank balance, my family members, these will protect me from everything. It's illusion. While being properly situated in those areas of life, attention should go to the shelter of Krishna. And combinedly, all those assets and resources and family members ideally assist one. One assists them and they assist you in taking that position of Krishna's ultimate shelter. So it starts here. Just as Kapila Dev's response to Devahuti, when Devahuti said, I'm too much attached to family life. And in that attachment, my discrimination is misdirected. My mind is disturbed. I'm covered by the illusory energy, and that illusory energy is your energy. Please remove it. How can I get free from this circumstance? And his answer is exactly what Rahugana is doing. It's taking shelter of persons who are qualified. Through sadhu sangha, one's material life can be dissolved and spiritual life can be accomplished. He speaks several times about attachment, and he explains the downside of material attachment, but then says that that very same attachment, if it transferred to sadhu or to the Supreme Lord who the sadhu is representing, then that very same attachment becomes liberating. So Rahugana's got the right program. And he has the right qualified person to submit himself to and request deliverance from his pitiable condition of worldly attachment and overly attached in family life and filled with misconceptions of designations and so forth. So he's accepted that error and is seeking further instruction and guidance from Jad Bharat. Hare Krishna. So I'll end there and see if there's any questions. Yes.
You have mentioned about the word designation. Okay. Very practical question, and so it happened. Suppose you are my boss, immediate boss. You are the manager, okay?
In a work position. Okay.
Work position.
Okay.
And I'm doing my job, okay, but some reason or the other, you have done something, you know, which hurt my feelings. And I'm in a dilemma, what to do, I didn't complain to you that you have done something, because I think that you might be mad, or you might fire or something. I have other thought that if I go to your higher, your boss, and I am also scared that if he sees that I am right, and whatever we have done should not have been done to Gupta. He has not done anything wrong. Now the question is, I am scared also that if I complain him, you might take it good. And on giving him, you say that I don't need
it. I'll make your life miserable.
This, what should I do?
So much depends on circumstances, it's really hard to, give an answer to a thing like that, a question like that. I mean, a first off response is tungstitik chusubharata. That's the first off response. Vatras, Varshas, Tupontaya, Satoshna, Supa, Dukada. Right? It's just the material energy doing its thing. Unjustified dishonor, unjustified praise, it's part of the material energy. The waves go up, then the waves go down. Boop, 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 boop. It's the material world. It's a bad program. The Ferris wheel program is a bad program. Go up, 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 down, 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 down. It's my foolishness for getting onto this Ferris wheel. Let me not invest my time, energy, consciousness, effort in making the Ferris wheel up instead of down when it's down. It's asat. It's just the nature of the place. That's the first response that I would offer. It's just the nature of the place and you tolerate it. And place your consciousness instead in thought of Krishna, and pleasing Krishna, and after all, that's who you're working for, not your boss. You're working for Krishna. Then there's another that's, they're quite similar, but another is, if something like that has happened, there must be, in the higher order of things, not in the immediate cause and effect, but in the higher order of things, something that is bringing undeserving dishonor or hurt. And this other person is the instrument of my karma. I'm not going to blame the instrument of my karma. I'm going to take this responsibility for what has happened. Something in the past. Something somewhere. Back there somewhere. I'm not going to go back and sort through all the files and find out what was that something that caused this one. It's not of great consequence. What's happening immediately is something is happening. And so there's something back here. Whatever it is, I accept. So that's what I'm saying here. This is Prabhupada speaking to Peter Burwash about don't blame the instrument of your own karma. You've heard that story described? Peter Burwash was a tennis pro instructor. He trained tennis teachers and he had a tennis teaching company and he was very successful. He was doing quite well for himself. And then he met Srila Prabhupada and became a devotee. And somewhere along the line he gave to the temple president whatever the amount of money was. I
Someone recently, Trivikram Maharaj was recently retelling this, and he said it was $5,000 or $500 or whatever it was. He gave a donation to the temple. $500, $5,000. And the very next day, the temple president took off with his donation. And other things too. So he felt, oh, this is really bad. So next time Prabhupada came to Hawaii, he came to Prabhupada and told him this had happened. And Prabhupada said, don't blame the instrument of your karma. Far out. So, it didn't justify the activity. The activity was very bad. But now when some bad activity bumps into my life, how do I take it? It's something back there, some activity that I've done that's, it was hurtful, foolish, something, and now it's coming back. So I'm not going to blame the instrument of my karma, for my karma. Take responsibility. And you know this nice verse from Canto 10, Chapter 14, Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna, Tat Tenukampam Susamikshamano. You know that one? It's quoted in the Bhagavad Gita twice, where Brahma is saying, I accept, I've done something very bad. I stole the calves and cowherd boys and put them in the cave. That was a no-no. I've offended Krishna. So for that, I'm going to get some reaction. And I accept the suffering that's coming from the reactions of my misdeeds. I'm not going to try to neutralize it, counteract it, you know, change it. I'm not going to invest consciousness and effort over there. Rather, I'm going to consolidate my effort and consciousness on taking shelter unflinchingly in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So when Prabhupada uses this word, reversals, I'm going along the path of life and everything is nice. Then all of a sudden I'm moving that way. Because in this case, my boss did something that was really hurtful. And I felt my feelings were hurt. And so the advice of Lord Brahma is just accept it. And instead, I'm putting consciousness over there in that issue, place consciousness in taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And in that way, one will inherit the kingdom of God. You will inherit the property of the Father just by surviving the Father. So if you can survive the turmoil of material existence and just stay fixed in the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, you go back to Godhead. Who's right? Who's wrong? That's, you know, it's interesting, but it's not critical. What's critical is going back to Godhead. So let my mind not budge one inch from that. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If something needs to be adjusted, He'll adjust it. That's the first position to go. Now there may be situations where there's somebody that's just oppressive. Then you may need to take some action. But if it's like what you just described, just a one-off, you tolerate it. It's just life. It's just because let's assume that the person that your boss, your supervisor, is a good person. Hopefully, you think of me as a good person. So, if I do something that hurt your feelings, it's not consequential. Because you look at the person's a good person.
If you're holding on to something that's, you know, quite distinct from the nature of the person, that problem is your problem, not their problem. If it's a one-off, something happened, it may be that you want to just have a conversation with that somebody and say, just so I can get it off my chest, such and such happened and this is what I felt. I'm not blaming you, I'm just letting you know this is how I felt. And they go, wow, I didn't know you felt that. Really? Well, my intention was such and such. Oh, really? Your intention was such and such? Oh, I didn't understand. Now that I know what your intention was, now I can understand why you did or said what you did, and then, but this is what I was feeling when you said or did something. Oh, really? Okay. Well, I'll be very careful next time to not say or do something because I know you have this sensitivity over here. Well, no, what you said was fine because now I understand your intention, and then, you know, everything is smooth, hunky-dory, as they say.
I'm sorry.
Copacetic. Fine. So maybe, you know, depending on the relationship. So much depends on the persons and the dynamic and so forth. Prabhupada speaks of, in relationships, sometimes there's a big noise. And he compares it to a bamboo forest, and the wind blows in the bamboo forest. And because bamboos grow close to one another, this bamboo, you know, hits another bamboo, and there's a loud sound. And everybody knows what that is. It's just the wind blew in the bamboo forest. It's not a big deal. So it's not a big deal. It says the wind's blowing in the bamboo. It's just life. Those things happen. But we don't. But if the person that's the boss is, you know, a mean ogre person, you know, you want to get out of harm's way and do something. Yes.
In relation to that question, now Mataji recently lost her job just because her boss wanted her to be a Christian. He's a Baptist, and he wanted her to be a Christian. And she visited, actually, a church. You know, she was talking to him about Jesus Christ and other things. So she did visit, but ultimately he wanted her to become a Christian, a dedicated Christian person, and she refused to do that. He let her go.
Good.
She found a better job.
Yeah.
Much better job.
And who wants to be under a person like that? A bigot. Who wants to? No, thank you. Even if it was a lesser job, who wants? Yeah, I'll take that before being in the company of some person like that.
And she didn't, as far as I can judge, she didn't hold any grudge or anything against him. She thought he was just not a balanced person.
Yeah, that's a good approach. Yes,
Maharaj. If King Bharata, a person like him, can take three lifetimes to reach Godhead, what is our hope?
One lifetime. It was a special arrangement. Now, drill down a little bit, and he made some choices. There's an analysis by our acharyas in that whole scene. It wasn't just he slipped. He consciously chose. He knew what he was doing, and he consciously chose. So he accepted consequences for his choices. So, what's our hope? make conscious choices that are heading in the right direction. Consistently do that. Consistently do that. That's our hope. Yes.
Maharaj, how do you differentiate between acting from false ego and standing up for Krishna? Like, sometimes you get posed with a very aggressive piece, why don't you eat non-vegetarian? Or you're not eating anything unless you eat non-vegetarian. Or the approach is very aggressive.
So the answer is motivation. On whose behalf are you acting? So let's just take tolerance. You can tolerate because, a good person is tolerant. And you can tolerate because you're just fixed in Krishna and this other stuff is inconsequential.
Are there any steps where we can check on? Because immediately when that aggression comes, the reaction immediately is from false ego. So how do is there any way I can check?
Yeah, become attached to Krishna. Become attached to Krishna. Look at the lives of those who were fully attached to Krishna. Read about Haridas Thakur and how he was abused. And anything that you're undergoing is peanuts compared to that. So what was the strength? It was his strength in the full contentment in chanting the holy name, full absorption and devotion to Krishna. So you're not there, we're not there. So we struggle. But the solution to the struggle is taking shelter of Krishna, becoming attached to Krishna. So do those things in the bigger picture of your life. Do those things that will bring you closer to the position of attachment to Krishna. And then false ego won't raise its ugly head and, hurt you and hurt the people around you by becoming more and more attached to Krishna. Pleasing, let my actions and my thoughts and my words be pleasing to Krishna. I'm not there yet, but that's my aspiration. Like that. Cultivate. Yes? Example of?
Srila Prabhupada is answering Srila Prabhupada's question about money.
Yeah.
I don't know in between the line, but I'm just wondering, because once he gave it to the temple authority or whatever, isn't it Krishna's money?
Yes. Well, so he's not deprived. Peter Burwash was not deprived of the spiritual benefit of acting to please Krishna. The problem was he was attached to that. It was he gave it but didn't fully give it. He still wanted to be the controller of it. So he wasn't spiritually harmed. The other person was certainly spiritually harmed. That's it. To address your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yes. We have time for one more question.
One more question.
In family life, wife and husband do agree to serve Krishna and do agree that Krishna is the Lord and we must serve Him.
And they sometimes disagree on how to do that.
What speed to move it.
What pace to move it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's the question?
The question is,
how do you determine the pace to move at?
Yeah.
Do it together. That's how you do it. And, one that wants to move more swiftly than the other that wants to move more gradually may have to not only externally bend, and the other one bend, because we're in this together as husband and wife. But one may make their commitment to Krishna more internal than external, so that the one that wants to move a little more slowly doesn't feel hurt or left behind or something like that. So one does things more, some things more internal. And by that lifting of that, whichever member it is, their Krishna consciousness, that will directly benefit the other. Without intimidating or threatening, oh, you may leave me behind or leave me altogether or something like that. The benefit goes directly to the other family member. Okay, we'll end there. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Jai.